during the 3 weeks, we're mourning the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which we know from the second Beis HaMikdash was because of Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred. And that's why many people try very hard to increase their performance of chesed during this tkufa, during this time period, to try to combat the fact that it was baseless hatred. So we're going to love people. We're going to give to them, do good things, chesed. And people get very excited about chesed and look for chesed opportunities. But sometimes they forget certain basic requirements of chesed. I'd like to try to review some of them today to try to be mechazik, to strengthen us in those areas. So there was a guy, he was learning in yeshiva, and he had his chavrusa, and every day this guy was early. Never showed up late to yeshiva. Every single day, like you could set your clock, set your watch, based on his attendance. And one day, you know, he was married already for a couple of years, and started coming a little late. One day 5 minutes late, next day 10 minutes late, 25 minutes late. And as Chavrusa said to him, you know, you've been coming late. Is everything okay? He said, everything is great. Nothing to worry about. He said, but yeah, you used to come on time every single day. You used to get there before me, and now you keep on coming late. So he said, let me tell you what happened. I still get up early every single day. I'm all ready to go. I should be there on time. One day, I was walking down the block and I saw this lady waiting for the bus with her 6 little kids on the corner. And this one was crying that she didn't have her sandwich. And the other one was stamping in the puddle right there in brand new shoes. And the mother was holding the little baby like this over here trying to grab the other one before it ran into the street. And he looked at her every single day. He kept on passing her. She really needed help. So every day, I stop off to help her get on the bus, help her with the kids, and then I come move on my way to yeshiva. That's it. I'm helping her out. So the chavrusa said, wow, this is serious. Nebuch, this lady, maybe my wife can help her out also. Maybe we can send her food. Maybe we can help her out. So he said, no, don't worry. It's my wife. And the idea is that sometimes we get all excited about this razzle-dazzle type of chesed that we could do. Oy vey, this lady, she needs help. Right? And then you forget that your own wife, your own sibling, your own parent, your own best friend, your own someone who's really close to you who needs your help, that's not so glamorous though. I like to go to visit the person in the hospital. I like to go ahead and do something that no one has. I want to travel to Africa to go do chesed. That's going to be great. The people right around me? Ah. Someone else will help them. They like me anyway. There's no reason to do it. Right? We look far and wide, but we forget about our immediate responsibilities about helping the people close to us. There was a tremendous tzaddik. His name is Rav Naftali Amsterdam. He lived between 1832 and 1916. He was a student of Yisrael Salanter, one of the leaders of the Musar movement. Okay? Now just to give you a backdrop of who Rav Naftali Amsterdam was, Rav Itzla Pettenberger, another star pupil of Rav Yisrael Salanter, said about Rav Naftali Amsterdam that when he goes up to Shemayim and he has to go ahead and account for his actions, he'll be able to say that not 1 second was ever wasted in his life. That is who Rav Naftali Amsterdam was. Every single second was calculated to be doing something productive in his growth. That's pretty amazing. Okay? That's who he was. Not a second wasted. Okay? He was in his late 70s, and 4 years after his wife had passed away, he remarried. Okay? And his wife was very excited, the second wife was very excited to be a partner of Rav Naftali in his spiritual pursuits. I mean, he was a leading rabbi in many communities and in the Muslim movement. So she gets to be his partner and help him out so that he can continue his pursuits of teaching, inspiring others. Very shortly after their wedding, she became ill. And basically, completely incapacitated. She couldn't do anything. And what happened? He started cleaning the house all the time. He washed the dishes, lit the oven, made the food, bought the clothing. All of his spiritual pursuits, we'll call it, from beforehand, turned around, and now he was in charge of running the entire house. She couldn't do anything. And you can imagine how bad she felt. And maybe some of us could imagine how bad he felt. Like, what did I do with her? This is not what it was supposed to be, right? But it's recorded that he was happy with every single opportunity that he ever had to help his wife. And let her know that. Meaning, it's an opportunity for chesed. God sometimes has plans for us. We thought that our job was going to be X. Right? We're going to inspire the masses. That's what we're going to do. And then all of a sudden, we get thrown a curveball that basically telling us, that's not what Hashem wants from you right now. Instead, the chesed, the acts of kindness that you're going to do is going to be very close to your home, full time. And that's real. And that becomes your spiritual growth. That becomes your spiritual pursuit. So it's important for us, throughout our lives, when we're thinking about all the chesed opportunities that we have, how we're going to help people, etc., don't overlook the people that are super close to us. That's the worst thing that we could do. And if it's not exciting, and it's not glamorous, and it's not what we thought we were supposed to be doing, that doesn't matter. That only makes it even a greater type of a challenge and a greater opportunity for growth. Very important to take a look. Next. How do you do chesed? So there's a mitzvah in the Torah. Ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Which many translate as, you love thy neighbor as you love yourself. Right? If you would want something, you should want your neighbor to have the same thing. So if we follow that train of thought, if I love vanilla ice cream, then I should make sure to buy my friends vanilla ice cream. I would want someone to buy me vanilla ice cream, I should want him to also have vanilla ice cream. Now he happens to be allergic to ice cream. But tough! Because I would want it for myself, so I should want it for the other person. Right? Does that make any sense? But that's what the mitzvah says. How could that be? So the Sfarno says that the translation of the pasuk is something different. Instead he writes that the pasuk means that you should treat someone the way he, the other person, wants to be treated. Just as I would want someone to treat me the way that I want to be treated, I should treat the other person the way that he wants to be treated. It's very different. If he hates ice cream, so just because I like ice cream doesn't mean anything. But just like I would want someone to give me something when I'm hungry, I should want to give him something when he's hungry. What are his needs? And how can I fulfill his own needs? Just to translate that into marriage, because that's where it becomes highlighted, but so for those married here, we could take inspiration hopefully from that. And those who are about to become married, we could start working on this mida, this character trait already now. Okay? It's getting into someone else's world. What do they need? What do they want? And fulfill that. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Ishus, Peretes Vav Yates, 15:19. It says, V'chein tzavu chachamim, the rabbis commanded, She'ya adam mechabed es ishto, yoser mikagufo, ve'oava kigufo. You should love your wife the way you love yourself. If you love yourself a lot, you should love your wife a lot. And you should honor your wife more than you honor yourself. That's the commandment. You should honor your wife more than you want to honor yourself. Now, what does it mean to honor someone? Unfortunately, we might be conditioned to feel that it means buy them a plaque. Come home, honey, here's a plaque to put on the wall. Best wife. We're going to honor you today. Right? That's what some people think, that's what it means to honor. But the Sefer Chassidim in Simen Kuf Nun Beis 152, and there's also brought down in Tosas and Kedushin, Andaf Amid Aleph and Beis 31b, if you want to take a look, They say, Ritzono shel Adam, the will of a person, Zehu Kvodo. That is his honor. The way to honor someone is by honoring his will and desire. By fulfilling someone's will and desire, that is the way to honor the person. And the Rambam said that you should honor your wife more than you honor yourself. So if you put the two together, what that means is your wife's will and desire is more important than your will and desire. So how do you figure this one out? You have to figure out what your wife's will and desire is. Just like the basic mitzvah, the haftal reyecha kamocha, is what does that other person need? What does my roommate need? What does my brother need? What does that person need? So I can give him what he needs. When it comes to one's wife, that takes precedence over your own needs. What is my wife's will and desire? What is her need? And then fulfill it. So the way to do that, you have to study your wife. You have to know, what is it? What is it she wants? What is it she needs? What motivates her? What makes her feel uncomfortable? What overwhelms her? What makes her happy? What makes her sad? What way of speaking gets her going this way, gets her going that way? It requires a lot of work. You have to study. Study her. And that applies to friends also. Study your friends. What is it that makes them tick? What makes them excited? What makes them feel comfortable? What are their needs? And by knowing their needs, then you can perform the mitzvah of love thy neighbor as you love yourself. I take the following situation. We'll take three cases of a Friday afternoon. Anyone who's married will appreciate this even more. Okay? It's Friday afternoon, and it's getting close to Shabbos, and you're running out of time. So you are able to help out in one of two ways. You could either take a shower, so you could be clean for Shabbos. That's a nice thing. Or you could clean the floors. Now, I think any man, they're on video here, but any man would know that for sure you take a shower. I mean, who cares if the floor is dirty? It's not important, right? You're uncomfortable. It's Shabbos. You got to go in the shower. It's simple, right? Okay. So as you grab your towel to go in the shower, all of a sudden you see your wife give you a look. Huh? And you realize that was a mistake. Whoops. And you run for the broom. Now, what's the deal? So if you would know what your wife's needs are, you would realize that she's expecting, or she thinks maybe certain guests are going to come over or something, or pop in Shabbos afternoon, and she's going to see that the house isn't in order. So for her, it's more important. Her need is to clean. And she needs your help cleaning. Now, you never would have known that, because you thought, of course, it's more important to take a shower. But if you would have understood the other person's needs, what their wants and what their desires are, then you would have recognized that that's not important, that's not the most important thing, and you would have gone for the broom. So it's important in every situation that we're ever in to take a look and see what the needs are. And sometimes those needs are beneath the surface. It's not like, oh, sure, what are your needs are? And you just get an answer. You have to figure it out. Sometimes someone can snap at you. And you say, oh, they must be upset about X. But not really. They're really upset about Y. Maybe they had a long day. Maybe they're hungry. Maybe you did something else that got them upset. You have to study the other person in order to understand their needs. It's not simple, and the more we think it's going to be simple, the less we're going to be successful in figuring out those person's needs. And the needs could change. One Erev Shabbos, Friday afternoon, you come home late from work, and again, down to the wire, you need to clean up the house, get ready, and you see that your wife's very stressed out. It's been a long day, and there's not enough time to do everything, she says. So you say, don't worry. You finish in the kitchen, I'll go bathe the kids. After that, whoever's finished first will go put the food on the hot plate. We're good to go. Everything's great. And all of a sudden, she flips out. Starts to become hysterical. What? You don't realize how difficult of a day it was and how much goes into Shabbos. You can't just say, you go here, I go. She gets all upset. You thought you were helping out. Right? And all of a sudden, she is not so happy. Okay. The next Friday afternoon, unfortunately, you come home late again. But you're a Talmud Chacham. You learned from last week's mistakes, right? So she's all stressed out. There's a lot going on. And you say, oh, I see how you had such a difficult day. The day was so long and the kids were out of control and you just didn't have enough time to help out. I totally understand. I appreciate everything you do for the family. It's really okay. And she's, what? Who has time for your sympathy over here? It's almost Shabbos. Go get the kids dressed. Go put the food on. What's going on over here? And you're like, what in the world is going on over here? What happened? What do you want from my life? Right? So some men would respond, hello, last week the same exact thing happened, and I said this, you told me that you needed my sympathy. This week I gave you the sympathy and you tell me you need practical advice. What do you want from my life? Why are some of you like nodding? Okay, right? That's what some of us might feel. But that's the wrong approach. People change, and people's needs are different from week to week. It's important at the moment to think, okay, what are the needs? Does my wife, does my friend need sympathy over here? Do they need a shoulder to lean on? Or do they need practical help over here? And just because last time was one way doesn't mean that this week it's going to be the same. If someone wants to be a chesed expert, then they're always thinking, what are the needs of the person that I want to help? And it always changes. It's not like, okay, let me pull out a book and look it up and then perform based on that. There's no instruction manual. And the third point, final point, is as follows. The Malbim says that there's a fundamental difference between two different words that are often, unfortunately, interchanged incorrectly. One is rachmanut, rachmanus, pity, mercy. And another one is chesed, kindness. What's the difference? At the end of the day, you go about and you help someone, you feel bad for the person, they're in need, you help them out, merachim, you have pity on them, compassion, right? Or you do chesed, an act of kindness. What's the difference between the two? And he says as follows, and I'll give you the following scenario. You see that your wife's needs are to help wash the dishes. So you go ahead and you say, okay, I'm willing to help. She asks you for help. Okay, I'm willing to help. And she knows from the fact that you said, okay, I'm willing to help, that you don't really want to help do the dishes. It's the last thing you want to do. And in fact, she might say, look, I see he doesn't want to do this. I'm never asking him to do this again. Now that might be exactly what you wanted, but that's going to be your attitude and you'll never be able to fill her needs in that way. That's level number one of chesed. Okay, I'm willing to help. What's level two? I'm happy to help. It's my pleasure. Okay, that's much better. It's showing that you're excited to help out. And she might think you're genuine and actually continue to ask you for help when needed. But that's not the best way to do chesed. The Malbim says that that's called being merachim. That's called having compassion. I see the person has a need and I react to the need. Rachmanus is reactive. There's a need, I fill that need. He actually points out that sometimes it's completely selfish. Because what happens, I go into a hospital, let's say, and I see a sick child. I feel like, ooh, start feeling uneasy about it. By me helping out, makes me feel better. Sometimes I'm doing it for a purely selfish reason. The Chovas HaLevavos writes this. That my rachmanus, my compassion, sometimes it's because I don't feel good if I wouldn't do something, so I do it. I see someone that needs money very badly, it makes me very uncomfortable that I have money in my pocket and I'm not going to give it, so I give it to make myself feel better. It's purely selfish. Says the Malbim, there's another level, and that's chesed. Chesed is you go ahead and you see that the dishes are in the sink, and you tell your wife, I'm going to go ahead and wash the dishes. You initiate. You initiate the act of kindness. You don't wait for her to ask and then you respond in a nice way. But you initiate the act. You know that there's a need. You studied your wife. You know there's a need over here. She's very tired. She's not going to get to whatever she was planning on doing. And you go ahead, you jump the gun, and you do it yourself. That is real chesed. Again, because you understand the other person's needs and you're acting based on it. You're not reacting to the person's needs. So as we sit here, getting closer to Rosh Chodesh Av, getting closer to the 9 days, we're in the middle of the 3 weeks, and we're thinking about how to bring people together. How to bring love amongst one another. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, we want to love each other. Get rid of that sinas chinam, the baseless hatred. We shouldn't just do nice deeds, but we should study each other. What does my roommate need? What does my friend need? What does my classmate need? What does my rabbi need? What does my uncle need? What does my brother need? What does my wife need? What do they need? And then go ahead and initiate. Initiate. Again, you don't have to look far and wide to do these acts of chesed. You can do it right here in the yeshiva, in the base medrash, right here in your room. And then, Be'ezus Hashem, as we become chesed experts, so first of all, we'll bring all the Jewish people closer together. We'll have incredible relationships, incredible marriages, currently or in the time to come. And we'll be zochet to see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash from Heir v'Yameinu.